So India has signed that critical 63,000 crore plus rupee deal with France for 26 Rafale M fighters. Let's give you a couple of details on why this is such an important development. Let's roll that footage of the fighter itself. It's a 63,000 crore rupee deal. These are the fighters that the Indian Navy will be acquiring. The first jets will be entering service in a couple of years from now, but I expect it'll be only about 2031, 2032 before all 26 are deployed. This is the exact jet that India is getting, filmed on the French aircraft carrier. France is the only other country that operates this variant of the jet, which is considerably more advanced than the MiG-29K that the Indian Navy operates. The addition of this would add a great deal to the firepower of the Indian Navy. The Rafale M comes with anti-ship missiles, cruise missiles, including the Scalp, which can hit targets on land with precision, and long-range air-to-air missiles. Rafale M fighter will also be integrated with Indian weaponry, including the Astra platform as well. As I mentioned, it will be deployed on the Vikrant and Vikramaditya, the two aircraft carriers that India operates. All of this comes at a time when we are seeing Chinese air power grow substantially in the Indian in the Asia-Pacific region, and many suggest that India needs a ship, aircraft carriers with platforms like the Rafale M to take on what seems inevitable, a Chinese carrier deployment in the Indian Ocean. So all this is very important. It's a fillip to military aviation, certainly naval aviation, and integral air, as it is known. This performs a very critical role in defending an Indian Navy fleet. It also has a huge offensive capability. Remember, planes like this ensure that a carrier battle group can protect a circumference roughly of hundreds of kilometers from any assault. So that's what this is all about. Remember, the Indian Air Force already operates 36 Rafales. This is different. This has hardened the undercarriage to ensure that operations of aircraft carriers can take place. Very, very significant development. Well, joining us now, a very, very special guest, Admiral Arun Prakash, former Navy Chief, Indian war hero, Veer Chakra, an absolutely incredible fighter pilot who knows a thing or two about naval aviation. Thanks, sir, very much for being with us. I think one of the most interesting aspects of this deal, sir, is that it happened in record time. I've never heard of a deal where the Navy says, look, I need fighters. The government says, okay, 3 years later, it's done. 2 years after that, it comes. So could you let's reflect on that. Because for once, we aren't complaining about the speed of a defense deal.
Yes, indeed. Let's do reflect on this, because it's quite remarkable, as you say. Although not as fast as you make it out to be, because originally the Navy had floated an RFP in 2017, I think. But it was taken up with seriousness in 2019 or thereabouts. But regardless, it is still a remarkable demonstration of speed and alacrity on part of the Ministry of Defense, for which we must give it full credit. But my only hope is that this should set a precedent for all such deals, because we've also seen in the past the advanced jet trainer taking 20 years, the multi-role fighter aircraft for the Air Force taking 15 years, the 75 India submarine project still hanging fire. So this is a good precedent set by the Ministry of Defense, the bureaucracy, and I think it should be become a template for the future. 2 to 3 years is the maximum that a deal should take. And because, for the simple reason that even if the contract is signed today, it will be 36 months at least before the first aircraft is handed over to us. So these delays are all inbuilt. And as the geopolitical situation and security situation demands, I think there is need for much more expedition and alacrity on part of the acquisition wing of the Ministry of Defense.
Admiral, why does India need the Rafale M?
For the simple reason that we have two aircraft carriers at sea. And why do we have aircraft carriers at sea? That is that because we are a maritime power. Wherever our fleets go in the Indian Ocean or the Indo-Pacific, they need integral air cover, both for air defense, for strike, for anti-submarine warfare, for projecting power. Our fleets require protection of an aircraft carrier. At the same time, the aircraft carrier also gives the fleet the offensive capability to strike deep, strike long.
So we already have two aircraft carriers, and they are currently equipped with the MiG-29K, which, as you know, is about nearly a decade and a half old. It's getting on. It's of Russian origin. The country of origin is at war. It's in not in a really good state to support this aircraft. Also, it's getting on in years. So it's time for us to acquire a more modern aircraft, and the Rafale M is a 4.5 generation aircraft proven in combat with the French Navy. It can hold its own against any aircraft out at sea, including the Chinese J-15 or even the US F-18. So we do need this aircraft out at sea to project our power and to protect our assets at sea.
Admiral, let me ask you a question, since you love military aviation. You've had the opportunity of flying on this Rafale a couple of years back in France. You were the first to bring in the Sea Harrier into the Indian Navy, an older generation of planes. You were also among pilots who flew the Hunter, an even older generation of aircraft. When you look at, and you flew all sorts of other things as well. Over decades, how has this aircraft completely altered the face of naval aviation from a fighter aircraft standpoint?
Well, let me tell you my experience in the Rafale. This is not a few years, 20 years back, 2005. I went up in a Rafale with this, put up another aircraft as an adversary. So throughout the sortie, I kept looking all around 360 degrees. I wanted to make sure that I saw the adversary before my co-pilot. After a few minutes, he said, "Admiral, what are you looking around for? It's all in the cockpit." And he was right. There is sensor fusion, the radar, the infrared, the TV, all inputs of this aircraft are sensor fused, and the pilot has it in front of him on one or two displays right in front. Everything is worked out for him. Going back further 20 years to the Hunter, all you had was a airspeed indicator and a clock and your height altimeter. That's all you had. Otherwise, it was your eyeball Mark I, which was the only sensor you had. Then, of course, whether the Sea Harrier had radar and so on. But the Rafale M is, I think, possibly the ultimate as it stands, unless you go for better aircraft like the F-35 and so on. It is the ultimate in sensor fusion. It's got an AESA electronically eraser radar. It's got the Scalp missile, as you said. It's got the Meteor, which can match anything in the subcontinent. It's got the Exocet anti-shipping missile. It's got an electronic warfare suite. So it has everything that a pilot would need within his reach of his hand. Hand on stick and throttle, it's called HOTAS. So it's the ultimate as far as we are concerned.
And I think one final question, reliability. That's been something that's been a concern for the Indian Navy with the MiG-29K. They've improved that over a period of time. But I think particularly given how harsh carrier aviation is on the airframes of these aircraft, if you have a high percentage of aircraft available for operations, it obviously means that you're a much more capable force. And this plane ensures that that takes place, right?
Yes. I mean, French technology, aviation technology, in my experience, is extremely reliable. The serviceability, the availability of the aircraft is always very high. And although we've got small numbers, the Navy wanted 57. They've only got 22 fighters. But I'm sure that given the reliability and the availability of the Rafale M, the sortie generation rate of the aircraft carriers will not suffer. I'm sure, especially in comparison with the MiG-29, the Russian technology is not all that reliable. The Rafale M will make up in reliability and availability what it lacks in numbers. So we need not have any fears on that account.
And a final question, all this is being done with an eye on an expansionist China. The number of ships, the number of tons they're putting out at sea is something nobody's ever seen before. And therefore, it appears to be just a matter of time before a carrier battle group of the Chinese appears in the Indian Ocean. So this is futuristic in that we don't face that threat now, we can face it in the future. That's my sense.
Yes, it's bound to happen because if the Chinese are showing they've been showing their maritime presence, their submarines, their surface ships, destroyers, frigates have been coming in these waters with increasing frequency. And once they have an aircraft carrier to spare, or once the Taiwan issue is resolved one way or the other, there is more than likely that they will have a carrier task force in the Indian Ocean or in our waters. And when that happens, we must have something to counter that. I mean, we are not going to war with China, hopefully. But they shouldn't be in a position to dominate us or show their strength in our waters. So when the Chinese aircraft carrier comes here, then we should have an aircraft carrier with equal capability or better capability than they have to demonstrate. And remember that we are in our own home waters, whereas they are coming 3,000 to 4,000 miles away from their nearest naval base. So they are at a disadvantage. We are at a distinct advantage operating off the Indian Peninsula.
All right, Admiral Arun Prakash, wonderful speaking to you. It is a red letter day for the Indian Navy. It's not often that you induct a new type of aircraft, and this happens to be one of the most capable anywhere. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, joining us now, another fantastic naval fighter pilot, Vice Admiral Shekhar Sinha. He flew the Sea Harrier. He commanded the Western Naval Command. He was he's a former chief of the Integrated Defense Staff and commander-in-chief, as I mentioned, of the Western Naval Command at a certain stage. He also commanded a squadron of the Indian Navy flying the Sea Harrier, the White Tigers. You commanded White Tigers, right, sir?
Sorry?
You commanded White Tigers as well, right?
I commanded the Western Fleet. And,
no, but White Tigers earlier on, the squadron of Sea Harriers.
Oh, yeah. I commanded the White Tigers and the Phantoms, both.
So, sir, before we talk about the Rafale M, I think one of the most interesting parts of this deal is that the fuselage of the aircraft will be manufactured in India as well. Does that pave the way for a larger number of potential Rafale acquisitions, maybe for the Navy, but for the Air Force as well?
I would think so. I would think so, Vishnu, because we will have 62 aircraft between the Navy and the Air Force, and with the likelihood of future acquisition as well. As you know, that the Air Force is looking for another 120 odd aircraft, and Navy's requirement was 57 to begin with. I won't be surprised if the small and medium enterprises here take on various component manufacture and subsequently start assembling or maybe manufacturing the Rafale here.
So that would be a huge step up. The other thing which I found interesting is that Indian weapons will be integrated with this platform. I think that is a testament to the confidence we increasingly have in, for example, air-to-air missiles and the like, that they are world-class and we want our weapons on this imported plane.
Yeah, it must be, because, if you have to have interoperability and commonality with the Indian Air Force Rafales, it is important that when we fly in one formation, we should have a very identical weapon systems, except for the ones which are very specific to the Navy for a maritime strike or maybe a maritime usage. But I think it's also, I must say that, hats off to the French who have permitted you to access their IPR codes so that you can get into their electrical system and get the power supplies available for your type of weapons. Because the Americans are very hesitant in doing this. I remember, one deal having fallen through where I was doing the PNC on just this account, that they didn't want to share their codes so that we could match our EW system with the aircraft.
How capable is the Rafale M?
Well, I think at the moment in our inventory, whatever aircraft we have, it is the most capable. It's a 4.5 generation, as Admiral Arun Prakash just mentioned. We don't have a fifth generation, and I think it's only the F-35 technology and beyond, which is probably shaped better. But when the Rafale was inducted, I had embarked the Charles de Gaulle. She came on a first outing outing from France. And I went into the cockpit. I was Fleet Operation Officer of the Western Fleet. And, the whole cockpit was so well instrumented. Everything was pre-programmed in a cassette. And all the strikes that they did into Afghanistan was on a cassette-controlled, well-programmed system where the pilot was only monitoring whether it is doing the right thing or not. So I think I'm talking about, 2003, 2004, or 2002, 2003, and now we are already into, they must have gone well ahead of this technology now.
Admiral Sinha, if the Rafale M were in service with us today, and in the context of the tensions which we face with Pakistan, how would it have been an additional force multiplier out in the Arabian Sea, better than what we have presently?
Quite a lot, Vishnu. I have been a great proponent of, you know, the sea power and maritime air power. I think the flexibility of shifting the area of battle, you know, shifting the whole scenario, whole theater of warfare, only the aircraft carriers can do. You know, let us say the pressure on our Western Front is little more, where our army or the Air Force is finding it a little tough going. Carrier with this, you know, aircraft can always open a new battlefield and withdraw, and they force the Pakistani to withdraw their forces from their Eastern Front to their Western Front. And that will give us a little breathing time.
And, sir, we also have our own plans for a twin-engine deck-based fighter, the TED-BF, as it were. It would be based on the LCA Mark II technology, but considerably evolved. Do you see that supplementing the Rafale M in the future?
Very much, because see, the R aircraft will take at least, I would say, 10 to 15 years from now. Whereas you need something in the, I would say that it is a good stopgap arrangement. And if the, you know, the twin engine deck-based fighter technically, electronically becomes better than the Rafale, then certainly, you know, it makes sense to get them into our own carriers. And I'm sure that by then we'll have our own aircraft carrier, another one on the line. Whether it is 50,000 tons or 90,000 tons, that's only time will tell. But the government, the manner in which the Prime Minister Modi's government has worked for this, I think should really hats off to the CCS and hats off to the ministry officials for pushing it so hard that in 3-4 years' time, it has all seen the daylight. And in next 3 years, you will have the first aircraft landing. And India happens to be the first export country as far as the Rafale M is concerned.
Yeah. Admiral, how would you respond to those who say that the Rafale M, when it enters service, might be dated technology-wise because it's not a stealth platform? The Chinese have already started inducting stealth platforms and will on their aircraft carriers as well. Is that a fundamental weakness?
I don't think we should worry too much because, you know, we have to concentrate on our own threat perception. What can Chinese bring to bear against Indian Navy or the Indian Air Force? That is the point, because China's bigger aim is to replace the United States from the top slot of the world and become the single hegemon. And I don't think that China will have so much of effort to put everything against India. And for that matter, I don't think it is such a push-through aircraft. And I'm sure this technology is going to last. The Chinese technology is spoken more. You know, the information warfare and what actually is, only time will tell because it is not a war-proven. And whereas the Rafale has been used quite a lot, both by various air forces and the French Navy. So I think it's a little battle-proven aircraft and the systems will do well till such time. See, F-35 and J-17 or J-15, J-21 technology, it actually gets proven in some kind of combat. I would be very hesitant to accept that the Chinese have overtaken the Americans or the French in technology.
All right, Admiral Sinha, wonderful to speak to you. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your thoughts on the future of Indian naval aviation. This on a day in which India has signed a 63,000 crore rupee deal for 26 Rafale air naval fighters, exactly similar to the aircraft that you see on your screen over there. It is going to be a huge force multiplier for the Indian Navy. The first of the jets will be coming in about 3 years from now and would transform the capabilities of our aircraft carriers, primarily the INS Vikrant, which is a new aircraft carrier, and would perhaps pave the way for a second Made in India aircraft carrier as well. But I've had the unique experience, I must suggest one among many in military aviation, but certainly one that is singularly memorable, of having flown on the Rafale off the coast of Istres in France. In fact, flying very low and checking out many of the systems, terrain following, the avionics on board, the ability of the radar, the ASAR radar, that which is an electronically scanned radar which the Rafale deploys, and the interface between the pilot, the man-machine interface as it's known. This is an excerpt of that NDTV special report. It was a documentary we aired a few years back. To give you an idea of what was an exceptional experience, not just in terms of the maneuvers that one got to witness, but also in terms of the technology I was showcased as well.
You ready?
Yep.
Ready for my AG?
Ready.
Enough for you?
I'm fine, I'm good.
Excellent.
No problem.
This is the jet I've been flying. It's called the Rafale, which means squall in French. It's the finest fighter France has ever built. And I can tell you this, my ride on the Rafale was incredible. Not just for the Top Gun style maneuvering we did, and we did a lot of that, but also because of the breathtaking array of aviation technology I got a first-hand glimpse of.
Operation 67 as expected. One and a half.
Yep.
And we stop at 5,000.
Okay.
Good. Now we permit to the attack area.
Yeah.
And the system tells me to go to attack.
Okay.
I stay autopilot because we are very low and the autopilot is much safer than me, even, even if I'm autopilot. Not that bad, huh?
Oh, it's amazing.
Minutes later, a Mirage 2000 forms up with us. This is the present and the future of French military aviation flying together. The Mirage remains a very capable jet, but the Rafale is streets ahead in every aspect. It lifts more weaponry, has a more powerful radar, flies longer to greater ranges, and has a cockpit interface at the cutting edge of military aviation.
Okay, Vishnu, I suggest you take the aircraft.
Okay.
It's all manual now, you have.
Okay.
And you climb to 15,000. I set it for you.
Okay, climb to 15,000?
Yes.
Okay.
You see, the climb angle is around 20 degrees in max dry.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. I go to standard. Good. Okay, I have controls.
Yep.
I will just show you the low speed.
Okay.